Personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astry tackled the quarterback. He's giving them business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
This is Jeremiah from USFL Newsroom, an inside reporter for the USFL. Jeremiah, can you kind of take us through what this season's been like and some of your credentials and background?
Yeah, so I work with USFL Newsroom. I joined them around the beginning of the USFL season. I've been reporting on the USFL since the beginning of this sort of season two off season, getting to know all the players and stuff has been pretty fun. I originally started kind of as a freelance. I just did my own thing, and then I was offered to join onto Newsroom, and it's been excellent. You know, joining one of the best organizations for alt football has been pretty fun. So,
in terms of your dream job, where does this stack up? Are you there? Do you have aspirations of getting to the NFL, much like a lot of the players from the USFL? Or kind of talk to us about that.
So this is definitely, you know, I would say a dream of mine to report on football to at any level, of course. Report on football and, you know, have that kind of information that's not really readily available to the public. And then just get to connect with players and coaches on a personal level is pretty cool. You know, getting to the NFL, obviously for anybody at any level, would be a dream come true. But honestly, the USFL is where I thrive. It's truly that one, that one niche. It's hard to explain. It feels like it's going to be around for so long, and I'm just happy to be a part of it.
So, kind of on that topic of the USFL and some growth going on with it, I've heard so many different tales now coming out of the rumor mill and from Daryl Johnson himself, and there was talk of, oh, next year they're definitely going to all eight cities to, you know what, maybe we'll try to expand first, and now it's back to, oh, well, you know, we're not thinking of expansion until we do, in fact, get all eight teams into their personal cities. The USFL taking the hub city approach obviously has led to some more profitability than the other spring leagues have gotten due to this point. Take us through what you're hearing through some of your detailed insider sources. What's going on with the growth of the USFL and the rumors of perhaps big player raises coming next year?
So the first thing that I want to lay down is nothing is set in stone. No matter what rumors you hear, no matter who you talk to, the same people that I talk to are going to tell you nothing is set in stone. We don't know. We really don't know at this moment of time what's going to happen with their teams. I can sure tell you that I'm going to follow up right here what I expect to happen. For teams, I'm totally expecting us to be looking at about six hubs. We are not going to see every team in the market next season. And this is my personal take on it, from what I'm hearing. We're not going to see every team. So that anybody that was really, really hoping that we would be into all their markets, you're going to be a little let down by this information.
Silently but at the end of the corner.
But at the end of the day, that's just how it goes. If you want your spring football league to survive, we've seen it fail so many times. You need to be smart about it. Like Daryl said, you know, walk, sprint, whatever he had said. It's just you need to take it slowly. What I'm thinking is we're going to see a hub in Canton, or a potential relocation into Canton, Ohio. And then because all of these hub teams, we've seen the fans greatly show up and support. You know, the Michigan Panthers moved to they're playing in Michigan. They're playing in Detroit now, Ford Field. Their attendance was pretty good. Especially for an NFL sized stadium, it sounded great. It looked great. It's a shame that they couldn't win any of their home games. and then you look at the brand new Memphis Showboats, who I would say have propelled themselves into one of the largest fan bases in the entire league. You know, they have their own private kind of group thing with the USFL. I think it's called the Yacht Club. It's definitely the USFL. They acknowledge that moving teams into their home stadiums, home cities, is essential, but it's all about how you get there. If they rush it, they're going to lose money. We'll fold. That's what we're looking at. So moving on to potential finances and player raises. Again, this is my own personal opinion. The USFL does have a players association, their own player union. And, you know, I can't see any way that that the player union won't push for higher pay. Obviously, as the USFL grows and gains more popularity, we're going to see growth. We're going to see players wanting to make more money. One of USFL Newsroom's Luke Miller on Twitter had a post about USFL MVP Alex Magoo talking about getting possible endorsements and stuff like that to keep that player in the USFL. So it wouldn't, you know, essentially be taking a player. It wouldn't be the USFL paying him more, but like the City of Birmingham companies around there, them getting together to pay him to keep him there. I'm thinking endorsement deals would be a very cool idea, but then it would kind of hurt any potential new teams that we see get added to the league, any expansion teams, anything like that, year four or five, because then you would have these big teams that have these names paying these players how much, and then, you know, it all becomes such a wish-wash sort of what's going on here. I would very much say that we will see player contracts be revised this off season. And you know, we're not going to see players in the USFL at least be making a few hundred thousand dollars a year. That's not sustainable at this point of time, but I definitely do think we could see upwards of $1,000 or $2,000 extra per week, you know, come year three or four. So
one of the biggest questions and one that popped to my mind immediately is it's almost like, let's face it. There is this kind of subtle competition between the XFL and the USFL. And I know they're not necessarily going head to head, obviously, the whole season. But do you feel like there's only room for one springtime league, or do you feel like both of them can exist and flourish because of people's hunger for football, or is there football fatigue? Is there at some point where people kind of withdraw from it? What are some of your thoughts on the comparison with the XFL?
You know, the XFL, so if we're going to look at the talent wise, there is room for two football leagues. There is so much talent out there that's just unrecognized that have a chance to be on these teams. If you look, the quality of play for the XFL, it was pretty good, right? You know, their first season back, it looked pretty good. you know, a lot of people have that honeymoon phase of looking at XFL 2020 with, you know, rose-colored glasses. I would say, in my personal opinion, that the play in 2020 was much better than 2023. But, again, that's my personal opinion. I think that it's not a talent issue. What comes down to it, you know, it's going to be your ratings. Everything I'm hearing, Fox, NBC, you know, they're relatively happy with the ratings. You know, we have no issues there. And then with Fox or with the XFL and ESPN, you know, we've seen like 30 people fired from ESPN, layoffs like crazy. The XFL laid off almost their entire Vegas Vipers staff a few weeks ago. You know, it just makes you. And I would be more worried about the long. If the XFL can sustainably continue to work with ESPN at this point, because there's still rumors of ESPN not being done with their layoffs and stuff like that. And then do they still have the money for the XFL to continue putting that out? It's a big question mark. And then going on the football fatigue side, the XFL starts immediately after the NFL season. And I think year two is going to be very interesting for the XFL. We did see a small dip in numbers for the USFL for season two. I would call that more of a sophomore slump. You know, there's not as many people interested in it because they've already seen it. And from everything I've heard, that's more of what NBC and Fox expected. There would be a small dip in numbers. The comments from Daryl Johnston the other day about being surprised about the numbers was a little confusing, I would put it at. Confusing from what I had heard throughout the season, but not too surprising, I guess I would put it like that. So I would say the XFL, the USFL can very much coexist, but it's going to continue to be a work in progress. While I think they can both coexist, I do not think they will both stay around for a while.
All right, Jeremiah from USFL Newsroom. You can follow him on Twitter at GridironUSFL. He's got great updates, especially during the USFL season, during spring football season. There's great stuff on there. I follow him. I think you follow him as well, Dal. It's the best place to get your USFL information, especially with the confusing playoff layout that took place this year. There was a lot of fan argument and speculation in regards to that. You gotta know where to get your info from. Jeremiah, is there anything that we didn't touch on during the interview you'd like to tell everyone?
No, I think that was pretty much all I wanted to get out. You know, I just want to emphasize to people that it's a work in progress. We're not going to see all of these teams in their markets next year. But I don't think that's any reason that you can't show out and support watch your football team. They will be there, you know. It's in the plan. They will be there, and that's just the last point that I really want to emphasize.
Well, thank you very much for your time today, Jeremiah, and you have a wonderful rest of the day, rest of the year, and we hope to see you again back next year with more USFL info.
All right. Thank you so much for having me on. You too. Have a great rest of your day.
That was Jeremiah with USFL Newsroom. Great interview there with him, Dal. And kind of touching on that, the USFL season is over. No more spring football this year. It's on to the NFL season. But just to make sure that I did, in fact, get one episode where I brought it in, I made sure I did wear my Arlington Renegades championship T-shirt today.
Yes, he is. And I also wanted to point out, I wasn't really a big fan of the USFL this season, and I'm probably less of one because I took last place. And now,
now it's cost down
and
money.
Now I have to buy a shirt for, is it your dad?
My mother.
Your mother, okay.
Yes.
I have to buy a shirt for Aaron's mother for a league that I really don't care about. So...
spring football has downed itself on Dow.
Yeah,
a little bit.
And it's just kind of, I don't know, it's just, there's nothing wrong with the USFL. I just, like I said, I preferred the XFL, but, you know, and we really didn't get into it too much with Jeremiah, but I think part of it really is the timing and just some of the basic decisions, that the fact that it happens right after the NFL season.
You're still in that football
mood.
It's a
huge advantage mm-hmm. between the two leagues. And I also, I didn't know it would bother me as much or that I would like it as much. I love that the XFL played. It's just such a basic concept for me. You should be playing in the town where your team is named after. It doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like, it's sort of like back when you create your own team. When you're playing video games, and yeah. I have brought this up before. When if I was ever rich, I grew up in a place called Fairview, Wyoming. It is not an incorporated town. It's not even a town. It's just a group of. It's just an area where there's houses.
It's and five dudes in a field.
Basically, our closest neighbor was a quarter mile away, and it was just anyway. But we had like this community park. That you know, we could ride our bikes to that was like 3 or 4 miles away or whatever, and we did. And it's called the Box H Park. It's still there, and I always told myself when I'm creating like my football league, I'm gonna be the Bitter Creek. I was like, I grew up on Bitter Creek, Bitter Creek Blitzkrieg. We've talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I liked alliteration. There's really no Nazi affiliation there, I promise. But and I'm like, and I would build this NFL-type stadium at the Box H, you know? So it would just be like one of those crazy, eccentric billionaire type of decisions, and I didn't care if it made any money. In other words, like Elon Musk.
Yes.
So I'd be like Elon Musk. And I mean, if he can pay $22 billion
you know what that is?
For Twitter, I can build an NFL, I can buy an NFL team and put a stadium in Fairview. I don't see the issue.
That's essentially exactly what The Rock and his two billionaire friends did, because the XFL essentially ate money this year.
Oh, it lost like $60 million.
I thought it was 40.
Or 60 to 80 or something like that.
In that range, I thought it was 40, but maybe it was 60.
It was a bunch. It was a bunch of money.
It was more money than I'd care to lose.
Well, and I guess it was but even kind of expected.
Yeah, but they knew it was coming. And that's essentially what they did. They said, well, I want to make a football league, and so I have money. I'm just gonna. I don't care if it loses
but
money.
To kind of go back to finish that point, I preferred the XFL one because of timing, because of the fact that it just made more sense to do with it. I like the rules set up better, some of the things they do, like for kickoff. I mean, it reminded me of the old Vince McMahon XFL to a certain extent in that, it was like, we're going to try out these rules, and some of them may end up in the NFL, which people forget this, Aaron. The overhead sky cam that has become like a staple of sports coverage, that started in the XFL under Vince McMahon. And one of the most famous players for that era was He Hate Me. I don't know if people remember that.
Ron Smart.
I couldn't even remember his real name. But they'd let him put whatever they wanted on the back of their jersey. And some people
no one to this day knows who he is.
Yeah.
No, who hates you, Rod?
Oh, I used to assume it was like society. And it was like his chip on his shoulder type of He Hate Me.
Shouldn't the man. Say?
It's the man. But anyway, I guess what I'm saying is I prefer, and I still prefer, the XFL. I gave the USFL a couple of chances. I watched
it. And then it cost you $20.
And again, it hasn't yet, but it will. Because, I mean, what kind of animal doesn't pay their bet to someone's mother? I mean, come on.
I did find it a little funny that my dad, despite the fact that his boastful claim didn't pay off, his team didn't even make the playoffs, he traded teams with my mom during the offseason.
And she ends up winning.
And so she won, so they're going to end up with matching Birmingham Stallion t-shirts in their closet.
And see, there's another thing. I'd already forgotten who won.
Yeah.
I've already forgotten the shirt I'm supposed to buy. It's just, to me, it was a very, to me, at least the XFL, there's things about it that were exciting. There's things about it that you remembered. The USFL, it's almost like, yeah, there's football and it happened, and when does the NFL start?
To be fair, every single second I'm watching any spring league, I'm usually thinking, man, and I like them, so I'm actually thinking, man, this is pretty cool. Hey, when does the NFL start?
Well,
so
yeah,
that's part of your brain that's doing that anyway.
That's totally acceptable. I understand that. But I guess of the two leagues,
you are the XFL guy.
And as a fan of football and someone who has written about football for at least, you know, to some degree over the last 20 years, I feel like the XFL is going to survive and the USFL is not.
Well, the USFL has done a better job at this point of their own money management.
They
both get very similar TV ratings.
They need someone, like I said, who we just said, they need someone who doesn't care about potentially losing. They need someone that it's going to be a tax write-off so they can build the stadium in Fairview, is what I'm saying. I'm using that as my, anecdote.
I've heard that. I have a couple of teammates that I played with at MoBap, and obviously they are St. Louisans, so St. Louis had an XFL
MoBap,
team.
MoBap, short for Missouri Baptist, of you out there who didn't know or couldn't figure it out.
Located in St. Louis. They're all St. Louis. So they were all XFL fans anyway because their city had a team. Easy enough. I mean, even if it wasn't Afton, let's just pretend they stuck a USFL team in Laramie and said, this is now the Wyoming Mountaineers. They're the new... You can't tell me there would be a part of you that wouldn't go, oh, maybe I am a USFL fan.
I would. And that's totally true. I think that's fair to say. But that's all the more reason why it makes no sense for them not to play in the city.
Yeah.
Or in the town. It doesn't make any sense to me. I'm
on record.
I understand why they tried to do it. And I understand why they're being gradual with the decision. Mm-hmm. It's... Do you know what I think about all the time? You ever watch the movie A League of Their Own about the women's professional baseball? You know, there's no crying in baseball. Tom Hanks. Yeah. But it's based on a real league that started up at the end of World War II so that these owners could try and make a buck and keep baseball going while the Ted Williams of the world were over killing Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just... So it kind of started out as that. But you go back to the names of the teams that were there. Wisconsin stuff. Racing, Wisconsin, Kenosha, South. I mean, they played in these towns because there was supposedly, they felt like people would come out and watch, which eventually they did. That's kind of the whole point of the movie is people embrace this team and this league. And I guess I feel like the same thing with the USFL. I feel like they're forcing a name where there may not be any support. You know, we talked to Jeremiah and the Michigan team. Yeah, Michigan. Yeah, they're football freaking crazy in Michigan, which is a great decision. Maybe not such a great decision to
put the New Jersey Generals in Canton, Ohio.
Exactly. I mean, let's be honest. You've already got two NFL teams in New Jersey have a stadium there because they say they're New York, but they're really New Jersey.
I'd like to point out that...
And they're very apathetic.
The original XFL got the rights to MetLife Stadium in 2020 when they had the New York Guardians that became the Orlando Guardians this year.
Yeah.
But, so clearly they're willing to rent out to these spring leagues.
I wish they would have gone to maybe... more secondary. I mean, I guess some of them did. I wish they would go to more secondary or even third. I don't know what the
tertiary.
Ooh, nice. But just some of the smaller TV markets. But maybe they would have been hungry to have it, mm-hmm. and maybe they would have given you a solid 15,000-20,000 every week because it's theirs. Like I'll throw Salt Lake out there. Because they had that AF, what was it?
AAF.
The AAF that lasted like 3 weeks.
I
was getting excited.
Because of the travel expenses.
I know. But that's because they did a piss poor job.
They forgot about it.
But they someone did a piss poor job of planning. But what I'm saying is had they had a league and they had actually played games at Rice-Eccles Stadium, they would have been successful. That the Wasatch Front and Eastern Idaho, Western, Southwest Wyoming, there is no professional football within hundreds of miles. And they would have embraced it, and I think they would have had, seriously, I think it would have been successful. But instead,
I think they did get two home games and did fairly well with ticket sales.
I was ready to buy a hat, which turns out it would have been probably a collector's item because it didn't
sold
last
for
long.
Millions.
But I just, I don't like the idea of just continuing to. Anyway, I feel like there's some basic decisions that I don't agree with, and that's what has kind of turned me off of the USFL as a comparison to the XFL. Not that the XFL is perfect, but I feel like their fans, I mean, maybe it's because the team I was cheering for had the beer cup snake and the lemon throwing.
That was fun.
I'm just saying, but there was more stories like that. It wasn't just the DC Defenders.
I enjoyed the Seattle Sea Dragon fans. Yeah. An entire section dress up as dragons
that's
and show up.
Freaking
for
that's fantastic.
They do need more of that. I've gone on record as saying I actually prefer the USFL, and my reasons are unbelievably aesthetic and, you know, just is look nice, me likey. Okay. First of all, I actually did think that first season of the USFL was the best of all the spring leagues of the original XFL, of the AAF, of this current iteration. That 2022 USFL was, in my opinion, the best iteration of just, here's the talent pool. Now they're going to go. Mostly because they didn't have any competition. They were running mostly unopposed last season as far as getting that talent. Secondly, I like the uniforms better. I just think they look nicer. They look, okay. And part of that is because every team that's in it was an original team from the 80s. So these are established uniforms in that. I also like Fox's broadcast better than ESPN's, for what that's worth, and NBC's. Fox and NBC as a broadcast duo. How much more NFL light can I get here?
Yeah.
And their rules are just more similar to the football that I've played and watched my whole life. Which again, other people have argued that's why they prefer the XFL, and that's what I was going to kind of get into earlier, is I heard one argument say, actually, I'm not watching the NFL anyway. I know I'm watching something else, so give me something weird.
Yeah, give them something a little different.
Yeah, so, you know, the variation of opinion. I prefer the more, you know what, just the reason I think it is nostalgia. I watched the USFL, and it kind of reminds me, with the leeway they give to the hitting that doesn't seem to exist in the NFL, and the uniforms and how it's played, and a little bit of sloppiness. It's not so crisp.
I would argue that happens with the XFL, too, though.
Yes.
I feel like they're letting them be just a tad more physical.
Although, having the head of officiating in the booth able to overturn roughing the passer, like, oh, sorry, you missed that the guy flicked his helmet on the back end, so go ahead and bring this back and call it roughing the passer. Sometimes that tends to halt play for me a little bit.
And that's also where I actually like the spring leagues even a little more than the NFL, because I feel like sometimes the NFL turns into rule enforcement weekly, and it's like, oh, sorry, there's an emphasis on this, and sorry, I know we have these officials that have been doing this for 30 years, but they're not allowed to use their expertise. They're just there to run the rules, and this is the rule, and this is what we decided in the offseason. If it does not impact the play, if it does, I think fans are getting tired of this crap.
And actually, that would be my argument.
And I mock older, like younger me mocks the idea that there's now a rules expert with every crew. Are you freaking kidding me? Anybody who's my age, mid-40s or older, who grew up and they watched Cheers. Remember the know-it-all postman in Cheers? His name was Cliff Clavin. And he would just make crap up because he was a know-it-all. That's exactly what the rules expert feels like to me. They justify their job with word vomit. I don't care. I don't care about enforcing the rules. I care about having a cool product and I want to see some freaking weekly violence. And I understand that these are people, not objects, but these people get paid a shitload of money to have a physical job. And they're not alone in that. Go find a guy who works in the oil patch that's got eight fingers and tell me that they don't get the crap beat out of them doing their job and don't deserve more money. But I get tired of, that's really the only thing that really irritates me about the current NFL is I wish
the ticky-tackiness.
And the rules. Well, no, technically it's just, it's such a Klavan thing. Cliff Klavan. Well, technically this is what, and I hate that when I'm watching it with my brothers and other friends of mine that something will happen. And now we just knee-jerk react to, that should be a penalty. Screw that. Just play football. If it's blatant, yeah, it's a penalty. Otherwise, let the players decide. Sorry, that went off on a tangent,
and see,
but it bugs me.
I was about to say that is almost part of my defense for the USFL, is that the nostalgia is, it reminds me of when I was a kid watching early 2000s football. When it did kind of play out like that, and one of my pet peeves of the XFL is stuff like it's fourth and goal, and they throw the fade route, and it's, oh, the guy tipped it with one hand. It's incomplete. Your defense made a stop. You're like, yes, let's go. And then in comes Dean Blandino to stop play for 8 minutes.
Yep.
To go.
Hate it.
He's like, actually, hold on, guys. Let's stop play here, because when I super slow-mo it, I can see that he hooked his pinky finger through the belt loop. So we're going to change this to pass interference.
Well,
and I go, no!
So I have a nephew.
I already exhaled in relief. I thought we made a stop. Once the exhale comes, you can't take it away from me.
So I have a nephew. I won't use his name because I haven't asked. But he's kind of a football nut. And I've gotten to the point where the first time he said this, I thought, okay, you're being a little bit, you know, overdramatic. I'm totally on board with him now. It's a I'm not a rules conspiracy theorist, but this is where it falls into, like I said, these are not officials anymore. These are league rule enforcers. They're not officials. They're there to enforce the rules as discussed in the offseason by the owners and the emphasis that they talked about. And one of my biggest pet peeves, you watch this next NFL season with this in mind. I know, but it's true.
The defensive holding.
This totally happens. So it's the same thing we're talking about. So it's third and whatever, or fourth and whatever, and there's a play. It looks clean. There's supposed to be a switch in possession or, oh, sorry, I'm going to call holding, because not only does it extend the drive, it gives the team a first down. And since it, quote unquote, happens on every play, there's not a damn thing you can do to complain about it. I used to think he was being really overdramatic. And now I watch a game and it happens constantly. It doesn't matter what game. It doesn't matter, especially if the teams are more high profile and they have like winning records, they will extend drives. And I'm not even saying that they're trying to favor one team over another, but it's almost like they are giving teams a do-over on some of these series. And it pisses me off.
And one of the rules though, that since we're on rules about and this and that, if I can make my one final defense.
I didn't know
defense,
I was going to be this fired up today. Before, I was planning. In fact, I was really drowsy.
Dal's over here with legitimate, like, broken ribs. Just getting these screams out so that he can let us know.
I just sneezed a few minutes ago and it sucked.
He almost died.
No, it wasn't that bad, but it sucks. For those of you who have we talked about that?
No, anyway, it's been 2 weeks since we've had a show.
So Aaron was, you know, you had some things to do, family things. And on top of that, I decided to break three ribs going off.
As one does.
On a four-wheeler ride with my family. And I'm old and fat, and it wasn't very nice. It wasn't very fun. I wouldn't do it again if I could help it.
Granted, even if you were, you know, like LeBron James, breaking three ribs would probably not be very fun.
Yeah, it's not, and I'm not the first person to ever do it, but yeah, so yeah, I was, we go back 2 weeks, I couldn't even lift my arm away from my side. I couldn't really get out of the house. So,
but trooping through it this second half of the year, running SVI by himself.
We're good now. It's sore, but I'm an old fat man. Everything's sore.
But one rule change.
Just one more thing.
As I'm circling back around for no reason other than to make it look like we're shoo-shooing Dal's injury.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, we're done with you, Dal. Enough about you. Back to rules.
I have a titanium plate in my head. This does not even rank in the top five of how ways I've hurt myself.
The one rule change that I can't believe... Twitter is trying to ruin this for me because I've been on my knees...
Trying to ruin everything.
Begging the NFL to change the fumble through the end zone rule.
Oh, it's a terrible rule.
Since I was eight.
Probably the worst rule in the NFL rule book.
And it's
to clarify what we're talking about. So let's say that the Bears are on the 1 yard line going in to score. They've had an impressive drive.
They fumble.
They have a botched handoff. And just based on it's an oblong leather ball.
Goes through the end zone.
That's why we watch. It's unpredictable. You don't know what it's going to do, and it hits the ground. And it happens to bounce through a bunch of people's hands and end up out of bounds through the end zone. So the NFL rule is, last team that had a possession, which is the Bears in this case, they lose that possession. And not only that, it goes to the other team, and they get it at the 20 or 25. I don't know if they changed it to the 25.
So the USFL... They listened to me. They said, oh, well, you know, we're just going to treat the end zone like it's anywhere else on the field. If you're at the 2 and someone punches the ball out and it goes flying through the end zone, no one recovered it. So you know what? It was first and goal from the 4. You gain 2 yards, you get to the 2, you fumble it, goes through the end zone. Just like if it had gone out of bounds at the 1,
right.
They bring it back to the 2, and they say, that's where you fumbled, second and goal from the 2. It becomes wherever you fumbled, you're just down.
Here's the thing. I would rather them even take away a down. If you want to penalize them for it, but away possession and the ability to score points,
I think
that is such an over...
I prefer to just treat...
It's too big a penalty.
Out of bounds should be out of bounds. Everywhere on the field, it should all be the same. You fumble forward, and it goes out of bounds. It comes back to the spot you... If you're at midfield, and you fumble, and the ball goes up to the 45, guess what happens? You keep the ball at midfield where you fumbled.
Yeah.
And everyone always... Whenever I explain this, I always get the same question. Well, what should happen? Should they get a touchdown for fumbling it through the... No, I'm literally explaining to you what the rule is, and people somehow don't understand. And other times I say, well, do you know what happens when you fumble at midfield and it goes forward at the 45? They're like, yeah, you get it at the 45. No, you don't.
You can't advance
a fumble. Clearly the problem is you just don't know the rules of football.
Honestly, I think that's I think that's the case for most complaints, which including myself.
And you know what, Dal? That's why we keep a rules analyst in the booth is for
we didn't used to have
him. Uncle Steve.
I don't want him.
who will tell you this exact thing, and he's like, well, they get it at the 45. That's why you need Mike Pereira to jump on your TV and say, no, Uncle Steve, you moron. Here's what actually happens.
Like Uncle Steve's listening anyway.
Steve told you this bit of info, and then he left the room again to go get more beer. That's what happened with Uncle Steve.
Yeah, stop listening to Uncle Steve. Anyway, I feel like of the spring leagues, I think the USFL is the one that has more work to do. And I think, honestly, a huge part of it is when their season is played. And I actually think if they wanted, I think at some point, if you're really going to try and, to me, I feel like they would rather be another spring league, be thought of as another spring league, instead of the spring league, then say, okay, we're going head-to-head, and whoever comes out of this is the spring league. I don't think either league wants that, but I think of the two, right now the USFL is not positioned as well in that head-to-head fight.
Other than just, obviously, the money-making portion. But as far as fan engagement...
I don't think they have as much money backing them. And
also true.
And I don't think... As of right now, I think the XFL actually has quite a bit of momentum going into next season. Maybe I'm dead wrong, but...
We'll find out.
Yeah, I guess we will.
I would prefer that both of them just keep chugging along for as long as I'm alive, for no other reason.
Well, yeah, it's like you like football. It's sort of like me with superhero movies. even though some of them aren't as good, I'm going to go watch it. And maybe I'm even disappointed, like a dad who catches their kid drinking. You know, I'm really disappointed. I'm looking at you, Flash movie. How do you screw up the Flashpoint paradox story arc?
I have heard.
Are you kidding me?
Some poor critical reviews.
It sucked. There's CGI right from the very beginning. There's some CGI stuff. It's just like, are you serious? It's sort of like the original Justice League release. Joss Whedon came in to finish that movie because Zack Snyder's daughter tragically committed suicide. So he comes in, finishes it how he wants, and it sucked. And not only that, it was just like kind of glo-. I mean, the opening scene of his version, there's some really bad CGI of Henry Cavill's Superman because he had a mustache for the Mission Impossible movie that he couldn't shave off. He was contractually obligated to have him. And so they just CGI'd it, and it's like, and whoever did it, I hope never gets another CGI job again. That's what the CGI with the saving the babies looks like in the opening part of The Flash. I was immediately turned off, and I'm like, this sucks.
I assume you've seen the memes going around of someone reversing the video of the microwave because of you've heard the Urza Miller personal life.
He's a weird duck.
So because of all that, someone said, man, Urza Miller really going off in the new Flash movie, and they reversed the footage of him taking a baby and putting it in a microwave.
The thing is, there were elements of that movie that I liked. I thought the whole Michael Keaton alternate universe Batman was freaking awesome. I loved that. I love bringing him back. I love the Batman 89. I even liked the gal who played Kara Zor-El, the Supergirl. I liked substituting her for Super in the Flashpoint Paradox. It's supposed to be Superman never gets, you know. Anyway, I've now gone off on a tangent. What I'm trying to say is I'm going to watch all these superhero movies regardless. And I think that's how you are with football.
It's just so much better to, even though it's light. It's just the sample. It's not the main course. Going from early July to early August before NFL preseason gets here is so much better.
It is.
Than waiting.
I would agree with that.
Wow, the Super Bowl. Man, that was exciting.
Well, I
can't wait to wait 6 months for more football.
Well, and I think the proof of that is here we are ready to start talking about camp.
Yes.
You know, now it's like officially, okay, now it's like you pointed out, what was it, yesterday, you pointed out, hey, now I can start making fun of, was it DJ Mooney's extra 15 pounds that he's carrying or whatever.
Not making fun of it. Darnell Mooney made headlines in Chicago because Chicago media is, every other major city is talking about baseball right now, and Chicago is just so ignorant of all their other sports teams whenever football has anything mildly news related.
I guess what I'm saying is we're to that point. We're to that point where it's perfectly acceptable to talk about.
Mooney showed up jacked to minicamp.
But I'm just saying, but it's perfectly acceptable to talk about some of these players and things because, I mean, you've got less than a month. Mm-hmm. You've got just a few. And I really do think that the spring leagues, as you just pointed out, helped with that. Because there's a big gap.
Yep.
Usually the only thing that's there is the oasis of the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. This year there were two spring leagues. And maybe you chose to watch some, maybe you didn't, but it was there. I totally agree with you that it helped pass that time, whether you were really engaged with it or not.
And as Jeremiah kind of pointed out earlier, we live in a country where that is the main event. I mean, what do you think the numbers are? 60% of kids in high school played football at least for a year.
I know.
The talent level for football in America, if we really want to fill up a pair of spring leagues, it won't be the NFL.
Oh, there's plenty of talent.
We got so many D1 athletes that don't go pro.
Yeah,
that
could easily most of them, well, like 95% of them don't.
I think the official number is 1.8% of Division I college athletes go pro.
But I would also agree. I'd also say that if I'm the NFL, it also shines a spotlight on just how elite your players are. I mean, I brought this up because it was he was a player on the Redskins, now the Commanders. Samaje Perine, He was with the Bengals the last couple of years. Had a great season last year. Now he's moved on. I can't remember what team he's moved to, which is where we are. He switched teams. I can't remember. Oh, okay. I forgot. He goes
and they
here.
Replaced him with Chase Brown out of Illinois.
But he was drafted in the third round by Washington because Washington was trying to fix their backfield there for about 10 years. And he's like the all-time leading rusher at Oklahoma, which is like football, college football mecca, one of the big dogs. Mm-hmm. And the guy bench presses like cars. I mean, he is a huge, powerful individual. And he was mediocre in the NFL. You could argue he still is, but he's still in the NFL, which means you are damn good at football. I guess what I'm saying is there are players that are so much better at football than 99% of other people are at anything else, and they still can't get on the field. That's how elite the NFL is at a lot of the positions.
Well, what was the funny showcase of Eli Manning and Tim Tebow standing next to each other at a golf outing for the SEC college football something-something celebrity golf outing, and Eli Manning standing next to Tim Tebow, and the caption was, "One of these men was an NFL bench warmer and cast off after 3 years, and the other one is
a two-time Super Bowl
borderline Hall of
Famer."
Yeah,
probably going to the Hall of Fame.
There's Eli Manning in his gangly Twizzler arms, and there's Tim Tebow looking like
Eli
he was
Manning kind of has
carved.
He kind of has a dad bod, honestly.
Yeah.
And I saw another meme. It showed him like at the beach. Now, keep in mind, we're not shaming Eli Manning. If Eli Manning was standing right here, we'd be like, he's more ripped than we thought. That's probably, and that's
he
after
dunk.
And that's after not that's after not having played for all these years. And same thing with Peyton. I mean, Peyton was probably in a little better shape overall for his career, but he wasn't. I don't think he was quite as athletic.
Have you
as
heard
Eli?
Have you heard both? I was about to say both their stories. Eli can beat Peyton at literally every sport except football.
Yeah, because,
and that just happens to be because, the one they played professionally.
Because Peyton broke it down like a freaking chemist. and got it right. But this meme I saw, it shows Eli, then it shows Peyton. They're both shirtless doing things. Like I said, Eli looks like a dad. Mm-hmm. Peyton looks like a more muscular dad. And then they're showing Arch Manning, who's the son of Cooper, mm-hmm. who's now considered one of the top upcoming freshman quarterbacks. He did not win the starting job for Texas yet, but that's
he's
where
a
he
freshman.
Went. Yeah, he's a true freshman. But they showed him. He is absolutely jacked. He looks like Christian McCaffrey in terms of his body style and his build. He's, forget six-pack, he's got like a 12-pack. You could do your freaking laundry because there's so many bumps on his chest and abdomen and torso. And yet, what's Arch Manning done?
Well,
not a damn
he's
thing. I guess what I'm saying is people have the tendency to go, wow, look, it's just like you just said. Even right now, Tim Tebow is jacked.
Mm-hmm.
He is a big, ripped, muscular dude. And guess what? Eli Manning kicks his butt at football. It's just, it's not always about being what you think it is. And yeah. But the level of elite people who play at the high level of the NFL is all, I think it's getting higher and higher. I mean, you look at how much there's zero patience now for these first round quarterbacks.
Oh yeah.
There used to at least be give them 3 years before you call them a bust. Now it's like, why haven't you won the job yet? You're a bust. And it's like, well, there is a guy that's 10 years older that is better at football than me. We don't care. You're young.
Lest we never forget when Bleacher Report put Trevor Lawrence on its top 10 draft busts of the last decade list after his rookie season.
Can I say something about Trevor Lawrence, though? I feel like this offseason, he's getting way too much credit. I've seen a lot of lists that have him as a top 10 NFL quarterback. I do not agree with that. I mean, some of them have got him like in the top 5, and I'm like, no. No. He's not. He had a good year. In fact, he had a year where it's like, oh, not only is he not a bust, he's who we thought he was. Or at least he's good enough to be He's sort of like Andrew Luck.
I did kind of feel, though, like he had a better year than even his numbers imply, if for no other reason than we were all, you know, talking up, well, maybe we were wrong about the Jags GM. He spent all that money on mediocre players, and look, their offense ended up being pretty good. Here's the thing. They were still mediocre players. Yeah. Trevor Lawrence made that offense go.
But I guess I still feel like...
Guys like Justin Herbert have Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Austin Eckler and Gerald Everett.
No, so I guess we're going to argue about it. I would rather have Herbert. I would take Justin Herbert over Trevor Lawrence.
Herbert has...
probably 8 times out of 10.
The flashier arm.
I think he's just better. I think he's got...
Trevor Lawrence has a longer track record of the wizard or the rabbit out of the hat. Oh, I thought we lost this game, and oopsies, we won it.
I'm just not that impressed with him. I'm not saying he's not okay, but the idea that he is, like, better than... I mean, some of the people they've got him ranked in front of, whether you... like, let's say Dak Prescott. Whether you think Dak Prescott
I'd rather have Lawrence.
See, I wouldn't.
I would much rather have Trevor Lawrence.
But I think part of that is because people are judging Dak on... if Dak Prescott was on the Jaguars, he'd be doing better, I think. Maybe I'm wrong. But
part of me also still kind of remembers what Trevor Lawrence was at Clemson. And so when I see flashes of it in the NFL, it makes my brain go, ah, there it is. It's coming to light. It'll all be here soon. Like, if that makes any sense. Like, part of me still remembers the Clemson Trevor Lawrence, and I'm just attaching whenever it comes to light in the pros, piece by piece. I'm like, ah, all right, it'll get here eventually. It's kind of why, you know, I still hold out a lot of faith on Justin Fields now that we've got a cast around him. Now, I'm still saying this is his final year. This is the prove-it year. But part of me kind of believes in the possibility of him proving it, because I remember what he was at Ohio State. And I'm going, okay, well, I mean, as long as he still can do that, we might as well see if he will.
I feel like there's a lot of people who maybe wrote Trevor Lawrence off that are now overcorrecting and putting him in, like, top six, seven in the league. And that's, I don't think he deserves that yet.
Maybe not yet.
Top half? Yes. Probably.
I would say I would rather have Trevor Lawrence than a lot of the quarterbacks that are in the league, but maybe...
So would I.
Probably. Well, we'll say I would put him between 8 and 10.
Yeah.
On my list.
Well, I'd probably put him closer to 10. But...
And so, yeah. All right. So Trevor Lawrence had him as a bust after 1 year on Bleacher Report, and now he's the greatest quarterback of all time. Well, there is no in-between, Dal.
I'm hoping this year is the year where Chase Young, for my team, goes from, well, maybe he's not who we thought he was, to, here's the thing, Chase Young, maybe he'll come out and have an 18-sack season, and then he's going to go somewhere else. Because Washington has done what they're supposed to. They didn't pick up his option. Because he's played 3 games in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're supposed to do. And yet it feels like he's going to have an NFL Hall of Fame type of career elsewhere. This feels like such a Washingtonism.
And not to try to rub anything in, because Chase Young is still a talented player. He could boom for you and you re-sign him and everything's great. Much like when we took Mitch Trubisky... Is there a feeling among Washington fans, or at least you, does it hurt more when the draft that you take a guy like that in has the people in it that Joe Burrow went one?
That you were looking for?
Yeah, Joe Burrow went one. Whatever. You weren't going to get Joe Burrow.
We could have had Herbert, though.
Could have had Justin Herbert. No one knew this at the time. Let's not play this game. But everyone likes to play the hindsight game. Jalen Hurts went in that draft.
Late
in that draft.
In fact, you passed on him several times.
The wide receivers from that draft were, oh my goodness. Yeah. Imagine Justin Jefferson and Terry McLaurin playing next to each other.
Anyway, we do need to wrap things up a little bit. But next week, Aaron, I want to go through, let's like pick one of the conferences and let's go through each team and say, what we think they need.
Sure.
Some stuff like that. I think that'd be fun.
That'll be great. With the preseason coming in closely now, maybe that should be the July thing. We'll have to do it two conferences, but we'll go north, east, south, and west. We'll break down the NFC and AFC on each show for the next 4 weeks.
Sounds like fun to me.
It'll be great. All right, well, you can catch us on Spotify, on YouTube, and at svinews.com/podcasts. See you guys next time.